Fuck it. We're going on with the show. We're back. It's the end of October. And we've got our Halloween spooktacular just in time for you to listen to it and then be like, oh, Halloween's over.
Weird that it's on a Wednesday. Like, I'm not looking forward to it, but workout would be pretty easy.
A lot of the major holidays are on Wednesdays this year. It's pretty stupid. I mean, even Thanksgiving's on a Wednesday this year.
Isn't that supposed to be on a Thursday?
Shut up, Canadian.
I mean,
go back to your Boxing Day, eh? No, I'm just fucking with you. Actually, yes, Thanksgiving is on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Kind of. But Thanksgiving Eve is on a Wednesday.
Thanksgiving Eve is always on a Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. Cool. Be obvious.
What Thanksgiving Eve traditions do you have?
Goblin.
Hashtag you too.
All right.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm using that one while we're recording.
All right.
Yeah, so we're doing our Halloween episode, and this is going to be mostly game mastery stuff, so...
And spoopiness!
And spoopiness! Ooh. Guys, join in here, come on. Ooh! Ooh,
it's scary!
There we go, now we got a radio show.
Yeah. Damn.
Fuck. All right, so I'm joined this week with Kazrakan.
Greetings.
Let the dragon soar. Come on, say it. Say it!
The dragon has come to boost.
Okay, dragon has come to boost. And we got the moniker back yet again because he's got nothing better.
Don't worry, we actually flipped him to a different cushion this time.
We did. It's been 2 weeks, but somewhere in the interim, his caretaker remembered to flip the cushion.
Still no pressure, I'm afraid.
That's right.
Yeah, Febreze can only do so much.
Truth. Then, of course, my co-host, Darth Blasphemous Mouse.
Blasphemous Mouse is my extra online handle. But hail to the dark side.
Exactly. And I'm about gaming. And of course, Halloween Spooktacular. It's me, Gangool.
Oh, he's keeping it.
I'm keeping it for twice. It's October, goddammit. I love this month.
Seems to fit your soul.
So don't worry, roll dice from beyond the grave. My soul hungers for flesh.
Don't worry, it is just a sheet with holes cut in it for the eyes. There is no pointy cap to it.
I don't make giant burning letter T's. Lowercase or uppercase, regardless.
In any case.
In any case. Well, sometimes middle case.
Roll the intro.
Roll it.
Feeling tired at the gaming table? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you.
Listener discretion advised.
Okay, let's get spooky.
Well, I think the soundtrack you made was pretty spooky as is.
I made a soundtrack? Oh, fuck, I'll edit one in later. Because I can do that. It's the power of editing.
Indeed.
It's kind of like casting a magic spell, fucking it up, and then being like, no, no, no. I'm going to give the GM $20 and cast my spell and make it succeed.
Well, no, you can do it for as little as a quarter these days.
Uh-oh. Amex has gotten cheap. Well, real cheap. So, when running a D&D game, if you want to scare people... And you want to run an effective horror-style campaign, what I do is I scare the shit out of the players.
Good advice.
You can scare the characters all you want. It ain't gonna work. But if you scare the shit out of the players, then your game has that horror element to it.
I think one of the best ways is to know your players and try and figure out what spooks them, because one of the things I've used, which you taught me, Goblin,
exactly,
is to give them extra descriptors when you're talking about what's going on. Like, last month I used a shadow spider dragon, which is a homebrew I found on PFSRD, and I just kept describing the spiders and the spores and the chittering, and it creeped out half of my players. It was great. I hope we get to game this weekend, but it's probably going to be November before we actually get to finish the encounter with the spooky dragon.
The spooky dragon, you don't really have to ham it up either. I mean, you can just... Easy breezy, super cheesy, and it's something I learned from not gaming, not legal stuff, but whatever, who cares? Is you can just be, like, really subtle. Let's say, for example, Kazrakan, you don't like spiders. And if I want to fuck with you, all I can say is it feels like something is crawling on your skin. It's not going to fuck with you that much, but if you go, oh, it feels like dozens of little bugs. You know, then it starts getting a little creepiness, but then I can cut it off right there. Or if you're walking through a hallway and I'm like, it feels like fucking silk is clinging to your skin when you walk through, you know, a hallway that looks like it's clear, then, you know, it's kind of like that feeling of walking through a spider web. So, and you can just, oh, one of the problems with it too is, like, when you're running a Splatterfest campaign, you can describe shit all you want, and it ain't gonna scare people. You can go on about how the blood is this, blood is that, and gore and maggots and shit, and that's when you bring in props. Like, one of the best ones we had is that we had a GM who was sitting there talking about this, it was a Cimeti in Vampire the Masquerade, and Cimetis look like rotting horses. They're basically zombies that are vampires, but not zombies. Kind of weird shit. But he's talking about how, like, the Cimeti was constantly peeling. And then you sit there and eat some beef jerky right in front of us. You just, like, tear it up, like, right in front of us so we can hear the sound of it ripping. So, like, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And whenever the Cimeti moves around, you know, you can hear, like, the muscles tearing underneath the skin. Just tearing some beef jerky, you know, just for that audio cue.
That's creative.
Yeah, I like that. Really creative. So you can get crazy with props, and as long as you, you're creative about it and not overbearing, you can really do a lot of stuff in the horror genre.
Yeah. Some of the other interesting things is not just getting into your into the heads of your players, but that's definitely a big one. But it's towing the line on some of the more fringe topics that make people uncomfortable. If you know your players well enough, you can find out where that line is and just poke at it a couple of times. I know a lot of people have issues with rape, and hearing the sounds of rape described in their in a campaign can really fuck with people because it'll give them flashbacks.
Only in self-defense. Never charged. See?
See?
Morbid humor.
But if you can do this properly, you can toe the line without actually triggering people into not coming to your game anymore, which is that very fine line.
As you just go for creepy things, spiders, leeches, just the things that get under people's skin, not so much the, cause PTSD attacks, you know?
Well, it's kind of like we had one player at the table, she's phobic about clowns. And so when I brought in bad guys who were supposed to be a bit creepier or whatever, I just say they have painted faces. I let her mind fill in the blanks. I come from more of the Hitchcock school of horror.
Less is more.
Less is more. So I just say, hey, you know, you're fighting these dudes. You know, they're big, bad things. And it's really dark and it's spooky, scary. And as you get close to them, you see that their faces are kind of painted in this mock white smile. Beyond that, I didn't say anything. Just let her mind fill in the blanks and be like, you know, sometimes they giggle or do stupid things or they make pratfalls. But beyond that, I kept it on the DL, just so the player's mind would fill in the blanks.
Say, Goblin, going off of that, can I ask a question to the group present?
No, you just did.
Okay, but relating to that, are there any? What are some instances that come to mind where, because I'm a huge fan of that Hitchcock approach, letting your mind fill in myself. For you guys, what are some of the, like, experiences you've had where your mind is, like, filled in the blanks and it's been creepy? Like, what are some things that's been affected for you?
Oh. So one that Goblin got me with when we were gaming was these goddamn elves.
Oh, the Phoenix elves.
Oh, my guess.
Yeah, right when you kill them, they say things like, thank you.
Stuff like that. I mean, and you were never sure they were really dead.
Yeah, you kill one of the elves and they say crazy shit like, don't panic.
Oh. Oh. God, that's
Yeah, so like right when you run your sword through it, the elf would just look you right in the eyes, you know, just like, I love you.
That is creepy, oh shit.
Yeah.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, so the elves were meant to be, you know, creepy. And part of the deal was behind the scenes too, is they were partially psychic. So they were reading your mind in game, so it gave them massive combat boost, and they had some special abilities to them, but what really got players the most about the elves is when they killed them, the elves would just do something random. Sometimes they'd even just commit suicide while, like, laughing at a player.
Saw that. That was also creepy.
Yeah.
I liked it when they splattered.
Yeah.
I mean...
Pretty much any time I whip out the elves, yeah. Darth Blasphemous said, you know, just, like, off-the-wall creepy shit.
Yeah.
Because part of running a good horror game, too, is also keep shit unpredictable.
Yeah.
Keep the environment unpredictable. Environmental damage is great for this. Keep the enemies unpredictable. Keep the enemies' motivations unpredictable. And keep what's going to happen in the character sheets. Like, people write shit in ink on their character sheets, and when you're doing a horror game, it should all be in pencil. Because the GM, one that's really got the shit down and he wants to scare a player, and doesn't know their phobias, doesn't know their fears, doesn't know what the player might geek out on,
yeah,
will attack the character sheet.
Alright.
So if you're playing a character who's strength build, and you run into a room full of zombies, but every time the zombies bite you, you get like a slight bit of infection, well, you make a saving throw, and it, as you fail the saving throw more and more, you become more like the zombies, and your strength build character starts slowly getting diminished, and it'll... Somebody who builds a character like that will get freaked out. They'll be like, guys, I'm not effective here. And they'll start tripping out because their build is being slowly whittled down.
Okay.
What was it? The only time that you actually went full bore with one of your characters was a strength damage.
Yeah, and the GM pulled in Hags, and I was power gaming, I admit it.
In fairness, you were goaded into it, weren't
you? I was goaded into power gaming. I really didn't want to play that character full tilt. Yeah. But what got me, going back on your question, Moniker, one of the first times I was in a horror game is a little-known system called Chill, back from the 90s, and it's mostly horror-themed. The GM set it up, so each one of us had a psychic power that was kind of low-level, and I'm sorry to Blasphemous, kind of, sort of, but this game really proved how racist I am.
Oh no.
I played a crippled black woman in a wheelchair. Okay?
Alright.
My only other option at that point was a healthy, physically fit Latino male. So I guess I'm racist because I chose to be the little old black lady. And my superpower was post-cognition, so I could look back in the past.
Yeah.
Woo! But yeah, everybody had a superpower in that game. And what was really neat is the game was designed to really fuck you up if you split from the rest of the party. Naturally, this was at a convention, so everybody just went their own directions and were dying left and right. I was one of two survivors. God damn it, I was being careful. And what really made the game stand out is not only was the storyteller, she spoke in a very calm, sedate tone the entire game. There was no screaming. It was a very monotone sound coming out of her voice, like mine right now. And she would describe every situation, no matter how horrible it was to you, in this one tone. So it was that that tone became uneasy over time. And beyond that, she had music playing in the background. It was a violin track. And it was just low enough that you only heard it when people shut up. So when you're playing the game and people are talking, nobody can hear it. But during those quiet moments when people start looking at their character sheets or starting to plot and plan, she would remind us that that music is able to be heard all throughout the complex that we're in. So, like, you know, we calm down, you know, we're like, okay, let me look at my character sheet, figure shit out, and you hear that violin music playing in the background. And it was a very somber, slow track. So it really helped that immersive factor to bring you in. So that's one of my experiences, my first really good horror experience.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I think some of the things that have scared me most have been things that have been the after analysis. For example, I know a lot about the StarCraft lore. I delve fairly deep into it. I look at things in the StarCraft lore.
He faps to it.
Only some of them.
Oh, Zerg!
But
Zerg Queen! Little grubs! Squirt, squirt!
Har, har. But things like the Phoenix Elves, because they were incredibly mutable for all intents and purposes, in the back of my head is like, you know, that's a very Zergy thing. Oh gods. Oh gods, oh gods, oh gods. No, fuck no. Stop, keep that shit away from me. Because I know that they are, you know, generally speaking, things with that sort of environment, that sort of creation factor.
Yeah.
They are designed to wreck everything in their path, be it by a specialist or by brute power. They are designed to be the end-all arbiter.
Yeah, they're, if you really want to get kind of like a... It wasn't part of my initial design for them, but in retrospect, think Clive Barker. Okay. You know, some of his more gory stories.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the Phoenix Elves. It's a very visceral evil. It's one that your characters will be touching and it's tangible. And they, yes, they are there to wreck your shit if you're not careful. And it's, and your pain and suffering does not even end at that point. After you get wrecked, they drag you back to one of their enclaves and infest you with all sorts of horrible shit and mutate you, but your mind is still there screaming.
Sounds like Tuesday night in Camara.
Yeah, it's like Tuesday night in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Phoenix Elves are a very visceral horror in that way. It's more the slasher genre.
Yeah.
When dealing with the Phoenix Elves. But at the same token, there's also that Hitchcock element behind what's controlling the elves themselves.
Yeah. All right.
There's that mystery there, too, that really fucks with players. They're like, what the fuck is controlling them? What's creating them?
Almost the H.P. Lovecraft style hive mind species.
Almost.
I mean, that's the way I love to go with it, is the H.P. Lovecraft route. Just over-analyzation of description and sound and what your character feels and such, where you're getting into the psyche of it and you're just making it super vivid.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it. And, you know, some of it is also things like, I've seen images of this great big spiky monster, right? Riddled with spine. And it's like, evolution normally puts those spines on things so they don't get swallowed. Maybe we should save the happy, happy, joy, joy, we killed the big bad monster boss until... Or maybe we should save that dance until we're off the island.
Or maybe the monster actually likes to collect people and stab them in onto the spines and it gets sad when they stop moving. So it goes to find and collect more.
Hold?
I'm not holding. No, we're still recording. Fuck your hold.
No breaks on the spook channel.
No breaks on the spook channel. We're being spoopy right now.
I mean,
mega spoopy.
Mega how spooks. Scary is it if you can just stop the bus? No, it's not exactly. Scary. It's like the scary factor is the fact that there's a bomb on the bus that'll turn on and blow up if you go below a certain speed. There's tension.
I know kung fu.
Yeah.
Right.
No, one of the other things too, in the Hitchcock realm of doing, yes, I said cock. In the it's okay, we're not FCC monitors. It's alright. Anyway, is to control the environment of your players. It's not that easy, especially in a suburban environment where you got like an apartment, lots of lighting, neighbors like slamming next door and shit. So if you're in a more urban environment, like a house or whatever, it's totally easier. But there's still some tricks you can use to fuck with people behind the scenes. Like when you're running a horror game, intentionally disable the light bulb in the hallway. You know, just give it a couple of turns so it no longer has connection, so they can't turn on the hallway light. So you're running a horror game, you're getting people creeped out and shit. Somebody needs to go use the can.
Yeah.
You give them that little bit of isolation at that point, because they have to walk through a dark hallway, they can't see the rest of the players, they can hear them, but they can't see them. So you're hoping to get that feeling of isolation in there. You hit the thermostat, turn it down 5 degrees. Just a little bit to make it uncomfortable, but not to the point where people are going to bitch about how cold it is.
Yeah.
That way people are going to sit, you know, clammed up, their arms are going to be crossed, their legs together, and, you know, when somebody looks at somebody sitting like that, they look uncomfortable, and it has that psychological resonance where they start to feel uncomfortable, and it bounces back and feeds off of one another.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're controlling the environment in the play space, there's a bunch of subtle tricks you can use, and some of them get downright mean. But at the same token, some of them are just small and innocent. I mean, like, if you really want to take it up to the next level, call a friend of yours over to drive past your house and throw something against the wall and then drive away. So, you know, the players are sitting there, they're playing the game, and suddenly there's a huge thump against the house. You get up and you're like, the fuck? You know, and everybody, like, goes outside and there's nobody there. You know, as a distraction, it works, but it also makes people go, what the fuck's going on? You know, loud, mysterious thump.
Yeah.
Another good thing is, you know, oh yeah, don't worry about food. I got you this time. Then you can ham up your creepy factor. You can do things like your little spider cookies, you know, your chocolate chip cookies, just drawing little spider legs.
Oh, that's single mommy tier stuff.
It's low-tier stuff, but if you do that in addition to these other things, like the temperature ambience, the light ambience, the yeah. sound distraction, it can be that last little bit. You know, it's a little bit of levity, but it is something that has a feel to it.
Yeah, it reminds me of...
a garnish on the cocktail.
Yeah, cocktail. Ah, cock.
Cock.
Cock. we're getting distracted by cock. God damn it. Anyway.
We shit.
I know, right?
Hey, it's Friday night.
Yeah. What does a rooster say? Cock-a-doodle-doo. What does a hen say? Any cock will do. Pow. Anyway, going back on that about food and stuff, one of the things we used to do back in the day was, like, watching horror movies is we would order a pizza, not tell anybody, you know, what was going on the pizza. We'd just be like, hey, what toppings you want? But it's a horror movie we're watching, so we'd intentionally order double sauce. Just so when you bite the pizza, there's red sauce everywhere. It's that weird feeling, you know. So if you're in a scene, you know, and people are eating and you just go, yeah, the flesh, you know, underneath your fingertips tears away, kind of like hot cheese. You know, little fucking people, they'll look at their pizza and be like, God damn it, dude.
Yeah. Or, I don't know, you have this wonderful banquet, but no matter what you eat and no matter how juicy or whatever it looks, when you bite into it, it crumbles and tastes like ash. You know, you could have, you know, yeah. just something really dry there.
Crumble cookies?
Yeah, crumble cookies or, like, you know, something like that.
One of my favorites is to, we used to do a game near a teriyaki shop, and they just load you up with rice.
Yeah.
So wait till everybody's done eating their chicken, you know, and you're running a horror campaign, and they go into the graveyard to fight zombies or whatever. You're like, yeah, you bash its head open and a bunch of maggots fall out. You say that right as somebody's getting a fork full of rice.
Oh, that's cruel. I love
that. Yeah, it's cruel.
I love that.
But effective. They'll just look at the rice and be like, God damn it, dude, I was hungry. But you still manage to get them just a little bit. The point of horror is to needle people down slowly.
In my U.S. history class when I was in high school.
Oh, that is a horror game right there.
Yeah, that is. But we had a day where we watched a documentary, I think it was, about kind of muckrakers, you know? In the early 20th century, you know, Upton Sinclair in the jungle and all that. And our teacher, he actually, you know, we come in and he's like, hey guys, you know what, just for today, it's going to be kind of a long one. He actually brought in a grill and he was making hot dogs. So, you know, everyone's like, oh, shit, yeah, we're going to have some hot dogs while we have a lecture.
We're going to have some weenies, yeah.
Yeah, then he starts talking about, you know, Upton Sinclair in the jungle and what Upton Sinclair, you know, supposedly saw. I mean, historically, this shit never really happened, but what he wrote about people falling in, you know, to, like, the vats and getting ground up, and people are, like, eating hot dogs or have already eaten this, you know. And, like, I look around my classroom, and, you know, it's gone from everyone kind of smug, like, yeah, we can just kick back and eat some hot dogs, and people are literally sitting there just like...
Exactly, that's the kind of,
It was lovely.
That's the exact kind of psychological mind play that you need to pull on your players
and
when
on
you're running a horror game.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, if you didn't eat a hot dog, you still had that smell, you know, of kind of greasy, you know, sausages, just kind of in the sound to the, you know, the grease popping and all that, and it was good stuff.
That's exactly the kind of psychological mind games that a GM running a horror game needs to do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, something I've seen from my research recently, because I was thinking about doing a one-off campaign for Halloween specifically, but getting it together has been a bit of a problem. I went online and asked some people, and with technology these days, you can do so much. You set all this up off of your phone. You get those lights in your house that are all connected to the Wi-Fi and stuff. And you can just have it set so that once, you know, this timer goes off on your phone and you have it silent, that all of a sudden the lights will flicker or, you know, whatever. You basically have a little control pad to do all this stuff. And you can get those things where it's the little smell effect deals.
Yeah, the thing is, though, you want to do this in moderation. You don't want to make it too obvious.
Yeah.
You know, moderation is part of the key. You want people to feel uncomfortable. And at the same time, too, when running a horror game, you also need levity.
Yeah.
If you have people locked down, feeling uncomfortable for 2 hours straight, and people are starting to get kind of bugged out, it's time to scale it back at that point. Just a little bit, because otherwise your players will be like, nah, nah.
Yeah.
They'll nope the fuck out.
But I am
all aboard the nope train. Fuck that, Bill.
Exactly.
But I've read a lot and talked to, well, chatted with a few people about how hardcore they get with games, and I actually found something cool, something fun our listeners can do at home. I know it's already the time, but... And it, you guys have all played that Betrayal at House on the Hill, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
So I've seen it on YouTube before, where they literally just take one of the events and turn that into a one-off, one-shot game. Hmm. They just take that story and run with it. And it's not so much the traitor aspect, it's more the ones where either the person who becomes a traitor is already in on it, the GM has pulled them aside, and they're trying to do the actual setup, or it's the one where it's them versus something or versus the house. And just running with one of those pre-rendered stories that isn't really meant for, you know...
Well, a GM can pull, it doesn't matter if it's horror or anything else, yeah. A GM can pull inspiration from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, we used to play games where our core material was the Inquirer. The GM would find one of those Inquirers with some story on the front, you know, like Batboy or some shit. He'd open it up and boom, we've got our X-Files game. Yeah, so using House on Haunted Hill is a great idea for inspiration for a horror game, totally.
Yeah, and it's got, especially with the new one out, so that's 150 different options you could pull from just to run a one-off campaign in a horror setting. And some of the classes, like the, for Pathfinder, the Occult Adventures, because both I and Kazarkan have played...
Occult classes.
Occult classes, and they're really fun.
They're
but when
also
you read
very
in,
powerful.
When you read into the... Occult Adventures book, the setting actually makes that power level mean something. Because, oh my god, have you read through it yet?
I haven't.
As if the power level doesn't mean something to begin with. Jesus fucking Christ. OP! Anyway, we're doing horror.
Oh, yeah.
Horror.
Right now, what I'm actually playing in a campaign done by our buddies over at Purple Hippo.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Purple Hippo?
Purple Hippo is gaming. They'll give you a card later.
It's a gaming channel run by a communist.
Fucking Reds.
Anyway.
Right, Solid Snake.
Anyway, what he's doing is he has taken the Resident Evil video game, the first one, and adapted it straight into his campaign world. Specifically for this set. And it's interesting because the way that the monsters play out in that is that they're not exactly a threat of high damage, but they're a threat that's designed to just burn through players' resources.
That's, yeah, like, straight with horror, back to the needling away at them technique. That's part of what it is. You just chip away at their resources, you chip away their powers, their skills, their abilities. You just start scaling back their options, and the more power, and it's a
Balance.
It's a very fine balance, because if somebody feels powerless at the game table, they'll just fucking nope train. But if it's a horror game and they still feel that there's a chance, there's a way out, you know, there's a solution to the problem, they're still going to keep going, and you can keep on needling them at it.
If you want it to work, you need the hope factor there.
You need the hope factor there, yeah.
Yeah, I think
you got to give them an avenue.
Yeah. I think what he did was he created, or he attached rooms that were designated as safe zones, either from the game or from his own machinations.
So he put in safe spaces.
Specifically so people could get their short rest, so their short rest powers weren't completely exhausted, but we're still seeing, you know, declines in power and usefulness as we go on. It's very well done, because it gives that tiny little spark of hope.
Yeah, well, when I run a game, there is no hope. There's just a 50-foot-tall Barbie filled with maggots. Because there's nothing like watching your players revile, just sit back in terror as you're eating teriyaki and rice all over your face. And you're like, oh yeah, when you kill it, just maggots spill out everywhere. Lots of maggots, kind of like this rice here. You just throw some on the table. I've done that shit. People are like, just goddamn, dude, stop it. You're like, oh, goddamn, maggots everywhere. I need more sauce for my maggots. I mean my rice.
Need more of that dank coffin juice for your maggots.
My dank coffin juice. Overly salted soy oil.
I'm gonna make a hot sauce and call it dank coffin juice now.
That'd be awesome, actually.
That would be awesome.
Alright, that's my business idea. Don't any of you steal it.
Oh wait, are your bobbles...
You better hurry, dude, because this episode's gonna be out soon.
Holy crap, it's off the couch.
Oh, I may...
He moved!
I may have spiked it.
Oh, you probably did.
Yeah, we've been having some weird spikes in audio stuff, and if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, what the fuck is that weird sound? That would be Slender Man. Well, actually, we're getting artifacts, and I don't know where they're coming from. But also, one of the other things to do...
There's no Slender Man anywhere near this room, trust me.
Do you really want to chance your life on that question?
Yeah.
I'm thinking more of the factor.
Of course, you know, there's always creepypastas in it. One of the weird things, too, is knowing your players, you know, because horror is more mature than any other genre, really.
Mm. Yeah.
It is a very mature genre. It has to be handled maturely. You need to know your players, and if one of your players is not creeped out by anything, they're just there because it's like, ooh, horror, I get to be part of the dark side. It's not really going to work out too well. But if you get some Bambi at the table who's a babe in the woods and knows hardly anything, but they're talking about, you know, and one of the tricks to use for getting to know your players is to get them talking, right? Sit down in a group with your players and just shoot the shit about something. Get them excited about talking about it, you know, like things that skirt close to isolation or clowns or spiders or any other phobia. And once everybody else in the room starts talking, shut the fuck up. As a GM, sit back and take mental notes. Because everybody else will be talking and you're just like, oh, I'm here. I'm in on the conversation. I'm just, you know, fucking doing my dailies or something, you know. But in truth, you're paying attention, you're getting to know your players, you're getting to know what makes them a little uncomfortable. And so, you know, next time one of your players is walking down a roadway in Vampire and they look down an alleyway, they glance to the side, and for a split moment their character may think that they see a hooker being disemboweled. This could be playing into one of your players' phobias that, you know, they might get assaulted randomly in the city. You know, so you can play, you just... Yeah, and like I said, you don't have to be overt about it. You don't have to say, oh, the hooker looks like you, and she's getting disemboweled. You just say, it looks like a woman, who's roughly, say, 5'6", with blonde hair. And the player may be, like, 5'5", with brown hair, but still, they'll get that mental image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Planting seeds.
Just that's a lot of horror, is planting seeds.
Yeah.
And just letting it grow to fruition. And it's really awesome, too, is when you're actually running the game and your players talk about shit that creeps them out. That just makes it so much easier because then you just sit back behind the GM screen and take notes. And after a little while, your players will be basically making up the story for the game. They'll be like, well, you know, I hope there's no, you know, fucking reptile monsters in this alien bunker. Couple game sessions, boom! Reptile monsters. You're like, oh, it was already pre-planned. You were looking in the future, dude. That's it. Nothing more. But they're just actually writing the game for you, and you're just filling in the blanks as a GM.
Right?
Yeah. It's one of the best tactics. Another really fun one, especially if you're using something like a DM screen, or if you're like on an audio line with them, like over roll 20, and you roll dice off camera, where they can't see the results, look like you're checking them. Huh. Carry on. Now you're dropping that little seed that, oh, something bad's supposed to happen. But what happened?
Yeah, like sometimes I would be sitting there and I'm running a game and I would intentionally take a d20, roll it around in my fingers to a random number, set it off to the side beyond the GM screen, and we're doing combat or whatever. I just reach over and they could hear the sound of me like ticking the d20 over. After about 3 or 4 times, they'd be like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm just adjusting the countdown timer. Counting down the what? It's like, don't worry about it yet.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, just don't worry about it. I'm just doing the countdown time.
Hey, forget about it.
Give them just enough rope to hang themselves,
just,
right?
Just give them enough rope that they'll just run out of the tree themselves.
Yeah. Lovely little analogy. I like it.
Well, I love it when players lynch themselves. They do it fine.
What was it? The harder you say no, the faster they're going to do it?
Exactly. That, yeah, that's my experience. The more I say no, the more the players want to do it.
Kinky.
So if I'm like, no, you can't fight 1,000 zombies by yourself, they're probably going to fucking run out there in their underwear and be like, I can take on 1,001 zombies.
The third zombie always gets them.
And the third zombie always gets them, because that's the Bill Cosby zombie. Hashtag you too. Putting pots. Oh, we're back to rape humor. Yeah. Touchy subject.
Yeah, it's.
Oh wait, I'm just, God damn it!
You really getting the feel for these?
Guys, come on! It's starting to get a little forced now.
Jeez. Okay, yeah, now that it is, because you're making the fun of it, you're actually like, throwing it out. I just like fuck. Anyway, there's two main schools of horror. You have the Hitchcock school, which we're going over very much in this episode, which is things are not seen. The monster, you might see their hand, you might catch the glimpse of their shadow. You don't really show the monster until the end of the movie, or if at all. It's up to the audience to be like, the fuck, and fill in the blanks. Then you have the Splatterhouse side of the, I guess it's a dichotomy?
The equation.
The equation, yeah. Splatterhouse does not work in an MMO, or I mean anything. Well, MMO, Splatter really doesn't work either. I've tried that. But it also does not work at the game table. You can just, like I said, you can describe the sound of crunching bones and blood and stuff, and if your group isn't creeped out at the first couple of words you throw out, they're not going to be creeped out at all.
Yeah.
And Splatterhouse, and another thing too is that in Splatterhouse type scenarios, you have like the Jason Voorhees, the Revenant. There's no hope. He is just going to show up and wreck you.
Mm-hmm.
Players don't want to fight against a no hope, no win scenario. So Jason Voorhees is right out bad for a game of any sort. Unless the players are like, yeah, we can take this on. If you give, you know, throw that line out and they say, yeah, we're going to go chase after that. If they get wrecked by Jason Voorhees afterwards, it's their fault. But, you know, if you throw that line down, they're like, yeah, we're going to avoid that shit. It's probably best not to try to have Jason Voorhees force him away into the game and, you know, beat face on a few players.
Yeah.
That visceral, in-your-face horror, if it's Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, Pinhead, Jigsaw, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, I guess some GMs, I mean, put in, or DMs, sorry.
GMs, DMs, whatever.
GODs.
Referees.
Boys, I guess enough people would like to have like a nice gore campaign anyway, so at that point it's just kind of pissing in the wind. I mean, it's like...
It is.
Well,
yeah.
At that point, it's a level of immersion that you have to get to. If you can do it right, you can just take like a little water mister, tuck it up in a corner, and turn on a fan periodically. It's still going, but like the room will eventually, you know, if you're doing it right with, say, dry ice or smoke, something to add to that ambience. You know, little flicks of water in your face, and then as you're describing a big blood gore coating.
The problem
everywhere.
With that, though, is if you get really overt with the props, especially with environmental props, such as lighting, temperature, even humidity, the ambient props, people will bitch. Like, lighting especially is really hard for a horror campaign, because the best way to run horror is in a dim light where you can spread the players out across the entire room. The best scenario you can have is, you know, the light is dim, the room is slightly chill, and everybody's in a chair at least 5 feet away from the next person. I have done this, and it worked out awesome in one game, and my ego said, you can do it again! And everybody bitched. And then I tried again, and everybody's like, they bitched. It was either too dark, it was too cold, they couldn't hear somebody. And when you pull a water mister in, somebody's gonna bitch that their character sheet's gonna get wet. We're like, oh, it's getting on my book. So, with physical props, you gotta be careful.
Well, with the whole genre, you have to be careful.
Like, no, if your player's not afraid, you go in the other room and you get a fucking hatchet, you hit him in the knee a couple of times, I guarantee they'll be afraid. I betcha, and I won't be underscared. Right, slaps the hood of this car. His axe has hit so many people in the knee. Bam!
Complete with memes.
You can fit so many corpses in this hatchback.
And they can be whole corpses, too.
All right, our host is MIA at the moment. We should start panicking.
Don't worry, I put out some fresh brains, and he just kind of skittered off.
Sounds like Goblin.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's
simple. What? It's food! It's brain food!
Oh, food for thought now.
Exactly. Sorry about that impromptu break, dear listeners, but dinner has been served.
Yeah, we gotta go get some.
Chilled monkey brains.
Going Indiana Jones on, huh?
Fuck yeah!
Man, I haven't seen that movie forever.
It's a good film.
That's another good movie, though, for a horror example. I mean, to a little kid, scary as fuck. Some bald dude may tear your heart out and then turn you into a slave.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a lot of shit when I was a kid, so that didn't really scare me, but the afterthought, I mean, if there's a player character who might get a body part removed, they don't like that.
Most people like having all their limbs.
Most people like having all their limbs.
Or attachments. Say, for instance, kneecaps. Weirdly enough, you can get by without them. It's just a pain in the ass.
See, I've
just... No, it's pain in the knee.
See, I've dislocated my kneecap, so I like having it right where it is.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I've dislocated the same one both ways, and it's, it was not a good time.
Nope.
The last time, I was on a trail with some friends. It was so pathetic. I was like, we were just fucking around. I, like, threw a stick, but when I went back, my knee gave out, and I fell into a pile of dog shit. And I still had the entire trail to walk with a busted knee and a shirt full of dog shit.
That's what you get for being fat.
I know. See, that was nature telling me, stay inside and play your video games, fat ass. You don't belong out here in the great outdoors.
You know, you fucked up when nature is telling you that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just thinking that one of the other things to do, especially, like, one thing that really fucks with players is sound.
Yep.
Like, there are videos on YouTube that I know friends of mine cannot watch just because fucks with them. Like, it's just an audio loop of some horror movie that somebody splices together with another audio track.
Yeah.
It is completely 100% fake. Debunked. But, of course, the website listed as totally real. Just like Faces of Death, totally real. But there are people who listen to it and their mind... Even if they do know it's fake, they'll still, like, freak out about it. So, audio sounds are really good, especially, like, if somebody is afraid of dogs.
Yeah,
tap something, like a pencil on the table, so it makes the same sound as, like, dog paws hitting pavement.
Well, see, I can really run with that one, because I have 3 dogs in my place, and they just bark at whatever, whenever, so... It'll be broad daylight, and it'll scare the shit out of me. So I got that one covered.
Another interesting way to kind of give that spooky feel is just old record sputters. The little pops that you get in old time, like,
LP
records.
Yeah.
That just is have a loop freaky. Of that. Just those sound pops running in the backdrop, very low, but periodically they'll catch it.
And if you really super want to ramp it up to the point where people will be, like, having PTSD, get the Jonestown, the audio recordings from Jonestown Massacre.
Yeah.
Leave that playing in the background, so whenever there's silence, people hear people committing suicide. It'll fuck your players up. I guarantee it.
Slap Soda Recorder.
This has spent so many suicide recordings in it.
We can play audio.
Play
audio from a Clinton.
I'm recording and eating at the same time, so this audio is going to be shit. But... If you play real, you don't have to get Jonestown, obviously, because that's really fucking morbid. But if you play real audio of bad things happening, it'll still fuck with your players. It'll bring them right into, like, well, just scary shit.
Yeah. Simple is better. Simple is better.
Simple is good.
I really got my, it's kind of on a side note, I really got my younger brother. I love him to death, but he scares very easily. And, you know, we were staying in, we went to Ocean Shores, had a little family thing back in the end of August. And, are you guys familiar with the, Tale of El Silbon? The Whistler?
Give us a quick rendition.
Quick rendition. It's from Venezuela. It's a spirit that, because when it was still alive as a person, you know, it had a tragedy involving his wife, and so he tends to go after guys who it perceives as kind of playboys, kind of hustlers.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a calling card, and it, El Silbon means the whistler, so when it's nearby, it whistles like, you know, and the louder it sounds, the farther away he is, and the quieter it sounds, you know, the closer he is. And so, my brother and his friend, you know, the cabin we were staying at, you know, you guys have been Ocean Shores, it's not a lot out there.
Yeah, there's not a lot out there.
And it's dark out there. And so,
I would hope so, it's near the ocean.
Yeah. So, they were, you know, going around the side of the house, and I was out back, and I had just told them this story. And as we're walking out, you know, I do the... and then I just hear them going, nope, 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 all the way back into the house.
Actually, that's another good tangent to go off on, is using actual real-life legends.
Yeah.
Like, if you have friends who have, you know, especially if you live near a reservation.
Yeah. I know where you're going.
Yes. Yeah. Whistling in the woods is bad.
Yeah.
Very bad.
I'll say this. One of the things that actually does really scare me, and I know you fuckers are going to use this at some point in the future, but is skinwalkers.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I'm not Navajo. I don't have any Navajo blood, but yeah.
No.
Actually, another good one, though, is like using real life as an example.
Yeah.
Like, in between game sessions, like, if you're doing a game where the, you know, the characters are actually out in the woods doing adventures or whatever, modern day or zombie survival, whatever, show them real-life statistics of missing persons. Like you were talking, like, being skinwalkers and all that. Show them, you know, the records of the Parks and Recreation Missing Persons Registry.
Yeah.
And it'll freak people out, because they'll be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know how many people disappear about around Mount Rainier every year?
Yeah, I believe
it. Here, let me show you this picture. And they'll be like, what?
Yeah.
Well, see, one of the downsides, though, is when you use real-life lore, some of it is region or culture specific.
Yeah,
like,
that's
I can
true.
Tell you guys La Llorona, but only me and
God, she's sexy.
El Caucho over there will actually understand it. Maybe you can.
I know that one. Yeah, that, yeah. No.
Or if we're living in the Midwest and I bring up either Ginny Greenteeth or Bloody Bones.
I don't know those
up here ones. In the Pacific Northwest, nobody knows about them, but if you go out to the Midwest, like, Bloody Bones is a Civil War legend of a dude who came back from the dead, and he's basically nothing more than a pile of blood and flesh. And Ginny Greenteeth is actually a lot like La Chicarona, where she drowns kids for the fun of it.
I feel like a lot of cultures kind of have the tragic woman who likes to drown little kids, you know?
You know, I got one that I know is going to freak you out just from saying the name.
Well,
El Cucuy.
I don't know that.
He knows. Basically, it's the Spanish boogeyman, and okay, he is scarier than anything that the Brothers Grimm could have come up with. Like, the stories from him are insane.
Yeah, he'll tear your face off and wipe his ass with it.
No.
If he had an ass.
So, I'm sure you're not confusing that with yourself.
So one of the ones, if you watch ABCs of Death,
yeah,
actually has El Cucuy. It's okay. It's one of the versions of the story where to keep kids to go to bed on time, or at least be in their bed on time.
Yeah.
There's a story of El Cucuy. He just walks around with his little cart, and if, you know, a kid isn't in bed at a certain time, he takes him away in his cart and he eats him. So in ABCs of Death, I can't remember which one it was specifically. It was probably C. And they actually show a video of a reenactment and stuff. It's one of those really creepy ones.
Alright, I'm actually going to look this up.
Another good one. Something to research or just play for your friends and be like, oh dude, totally check this out before we game, you know, I've just been on this stuff. Look up the Lost Tapes. It was a Netflix pickup, and it was a whole bunch of, like, so the first two seasons were okay. Season three is where it got really dumb, but it was actual creepy things, actual legends, and they made dramatic reenactments and were like, oh, these are the Lost Tapes. And, like, they were really good. I mean, the first time I watched them, I was in college, and I didn't sleep that weekend.
Yeah.
72 hours of just, I'm awake.
Or show them, like, tapes of real shit. Like the guy who got lost in the Paris catacombs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a spooky one.
Get the original, not the edited.
Yeah. Or some of the videos of shit that happens out, like, in the countryside of Russia.
I know about that too.
Even the countryside here in the Pacific Northwest, there's some creepy shit.
Yeah, like, not too long ago, a guy actually put a video up on YouTube of a supposed Sasquatch, because, you know, potato phone, but he was inside of his tent while the Sasquatch was, like, right on the other side of it making noises. So it's another one of those audio fuck yous.
Yeah.
But eventually the guy, like, bolts out of his fucking tent, runs straight to his car, hops into it, and leaves with the whole tape running. Doesn't see anything, but you hear, like, this big ape-like creature freaking out.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'll have to find that.
So, yeah, there's plenty of videos you can show people, but most people still won't be freaked out until you stab their wife. I mean, stuff.
Okay there, OJ.
He ruined breakfast for me.
But, you know, that's definitely one of the things to draw on when you're trying to do a campaign. Definitely try and do small things. Less is more. Research is key.
Yeah, exactly.
These are the things that we're trying to impart besides all the tangents and this delicious meal.
Yeah, I know. It is delicious.
I cook good, don't it?
I can taste the vinegar.
Oh, yeah. Balsamic.
Yeah. I know it's vinegar because strychnine has a different flavor. Don't ask me how I know that, but it's true.
But that's definitely some of the key stuff in running a horror campaign is knowing how to do it for your players, because what works with one group of people might not work twice or with any other group of people.
And if nothing else, watch a shitload of Charlie Manson videos. No reference to you, but watch a shitload of Charlie Manson videos and how he interacted with other people. That dude will freak you out. Like, when you look at your players, don't look at them. Look through them. And, of course, be random. Because that guy was just serious one moment and not serious the next. Should have been our president.
Oh, God.
At least he would have been honest.
Would he?
In comparison to what we have?
What we've had as well?
Yeah, well, what we've had, yeah. I mean, at least the guy is, you know, predictable as a box full of Fruit Loops.
Man.
When you pour them out, you just go, yeah, there's going to be a collage of colors pouring out. Don't know which one's first, but there's a lot of colors.
Pretty colors. Pretty colors.
On that note, who do you guys think would win in a fist fight? Charles Manson or David Koresh?
Koresh.
Koresh? Manson's dead. Pretty hard to win a fist fight when, you know, you're dust.
I walked into that one.
Right? Yeah.
Did they cremate him?
I have no idea. All I know is he died. And his credit cards were never approved.
Ooh, something if you're trying to set up long-term for a spooky game. Especially if it's just like you're trying to get your players to a certain point so that when the Halloween season's there, you guys can actually run through a spooky deal, a spooky dungeon, what have you. Start dropping hints. Create lore in your world that is these boogeymen, these, you know, folklore legends of horror, you know. Try and build up over the course of time.
Actually, that is a very good suggestion. If you're running a long-term campaign, building up is better than going, we're going to do a Halloween campaign out of the blue. Yeah, usually that doesn't work too well.
Well, part of that is because people who hear, oh, we're going to do a spooky campaign this month, are already steeled for it. They're preparing themselves the moment they hear the words.
But you can unprepare those people real easy. I call it shotgun. Knock on front door. Surprise! I know it's illegal, but staring down the business end of a shotgun makes anybody who thinks they're badass realize how small and insignificant they are real quick, and makes your horror game 100% more scary when they come to sit at your house. If they come sit at your house.
Didn't some YouTube pranksters get in trouble for some shit like that?
Probably, and yeah, I should put a warning on that. Don't go to people's houses with a shotgun and point it in their face.
Does that really have to be said, though? That's common sense.
We put warning labels...
On peanut butter. That says contains peanuts.
We put gluten-free labels on eggs. And last I checked, eggs are not a wheat product.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that needs to be said. There are some dumb people out there. I don't know if there are listeners, but I'm just covering all the bases.
We started locking up Tide Pods.
Yeah, Tide Pods.
Tide Pods.
There's enough of an excuse right there. But let's just think about the fact that common sense is not a gift. It is a curse, because you have to deal with everyone.
It's not a curse, it's a superpower.
At this point.
Yeah. At this point, it is a fucking superpower. Ain't that shit?
I think it also puts a target on your back.
Yeah, true.
Because you have it.
Yeah. Okay, we're digressing. Any final thoughts for the Halloween Super Spectacular episode where we've talked about nothing spooky at all?
Nope, nothing. Nothing at all. Right. Look behind you.
I already did.
Did you guys hear that? Oh. This guy's headphones are leaking or something.
Who checked the basement? Was that...
We don't talk about what's in the basement.
Then who...
The basement's not the problem. It's what's in the cupboard.
I thought you killed that.
I did.
Mm.
That's why it's a problem.
What about what's in the closet?
No, we let...
Surprise! I'm out of the closet! You opened the door for that one, sweetheart.
That's what I was going for.
Woo! Chip Ahoy, Sailor! Yay! Oh my god, a big ship just came into my port.
Oh god, help us.
Why? What the hell has he done for any of us?
See, and that's kind of the thing right there, dude. Levity. You know, you can only be creepy for so long, and you gotta add a little bit of humor to break the tension, and then you get right back in the horror.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the way it works. So, I guess that's it for this month. We'll see everybody back in November, eh?
All right.
All righty.
Welcome back to Hello Thanksmas, and have a good weekend.
Peace.
Fuck Christmas.
Bush at 9/11. Thank you.